The benefits of exercise with intermittent fasting. One such study involved a group of 34 young men who were divided into two groups. One group followed a normal diet, while the other group was placed on a 16-8 intermittent fasting plan. The number of calories and the amount of protein for both groups were the same, and both groups engaged in the same amount and type of weight training 3 times a week. The only difference was the scheduling of the eating window. At the end of the 16-week study period, the fasting groups had taken off 3.5 pounds of fat, but both groups had maintained their strength and muscle mass. Other health markers in the fasting group also showed improvement. Similarly, a study involving obese subjects explored the effects of alternate day fasting when combined with endurance exercise. The subjects were randomly divided into 4 groups. The control group ate a normal diet and followed their normal lifestyle. The second group followed an alternate day fast. The third group ate normally, but followed an exercise regimen of 25 to 40 minutes on an elliptical or stationary bicycle 3 times a week. And the fourth group followed an alternate day fast with the same exercise regimen. With the exception of the control group, all the other groups were able to lose fat and had a reduction in waist measurement, but only the fasting exercise group maintained muscle mass. The results of both of these studies and others is clear. To maintain muscle mass during intermittent fasting, it's essential to include some form of exercise. But it's also important to make sure you're getting enough protein, preferably high-quality animal protein. The recommended amount is about 0.8 grams of protein, more or less, per pound of body weight when you are trying to maintain muscle. If you want to build muscle, it may be necessary to increase the amount of protein you consume. If you're also trying to lose weight, it's important to be patient and keep the rate of weight loss slow. There's a greater chance of losing muscle mass when the pounds are coming off too rapidly. Try to keep it down to no more than 1 or 2 pounds lost per week. Gaining muscle while on an intermittent fast requires some attention on your part. You need to make sure of 3 factors. 1. You are getting sufficient exercise to stress the muscles so that the muscle fibers become damaged. This will initiate the repair process to rebuild them. Autophagy is an essential dynamic in this process. The repaired tissue reinforces the muscle fibers so that your muscles become denser and stronger. 2. You are getting enough calories for basic daily function plus cell repair for your new muscle tissue. 3. You are taking in enough protein to synthesize and replace the protein you are breaking down. As a rule, intermittent fasting doesn't require you to keep track of the calories you consume, but you may want to modify that rule when it comes to gaining muscle. If you can't maintain a sufficient intake of calories, gaining muscle will be a long, slow process. But it's just as important to make sure you are getting those calories from high-quality proteins, carbohydrates, and fats. There are some people who claim that intermittent fasting is not the best way to gain muscle. Possibly, they have had a bad personal experience with it, or perhaps they don't have all the proper information. This is another area where only you, and possibly your doctor, can make the final decision about whether this approach to gain muscle is right for you. Intermittent fasting for women. So far, we've discussed many aspects of intermittent fasting, but we need to address the issues of a particular group of people, women. Now we know that fasting causes the body to undergo many changes, and for the most part, they are beneficial for most people. But for women, some of the hormonal changes can potentially lead to an imbalance, and there is a possibility of problems with fertility. When a woman gets that feeling that she's going to die if she doesn't get something to eat, it's not imaginary or psychological. It's hormonal. The problem lies in women's heightened sensitivity to the hunger hormones, leptin, insulin, and ghrelin. When women go without food for longer than normal, the ghrelin kicks in with a vengeance, and the body believes it's starving. For women, this is all about an inherent need to survive. Another attribute that goes back to the times when food was not easily obtained. Genes again. Our ancestors were programmed to survive, not just as individuals, but as a species. For women, this survival concern included potential offspring. Evidence that intermittent fasting could cause reproductive problems was discovered in a study of female rats who were on intermittent fasting protocols. After just 2 weeks, the female rats experienced more adverse effects than the males who were on the same protocol. Their menstrual cycles were interrupted, their ovaries began to shrink, and they were unable to reproduce. They also experienced more significant insomnia than the males. Scientists think that the reason for the sleeplessness was a ferocious need to think, plan, and find food. Unfortunately, although there is an abundance of intermittent fasting studies on human males, there is a shortage of females and even fewer studies on the difference and similarities between fasting males and females. But the animal studies have provided enough information for researchers to reach the conclusion that intermittent fasting can potentially upset hormonal balance for women, possibly even stopping ovulation, and create reproductive problems. In the few human studies on fasting men and women that have been conducted, there have been some areas where women's responses differed significantly from the men's. The women did not achieve the increase in insulin sensitivity, and their glucose tolerance actually decreased. These differences had detrimental effects on women's metabolisms, and many of them reported undesirable side effects, such as anxiety, irritability, insomnia, skin problems, and menstrual irregularity. On the other hand, there have been some women who report feeling great while following an IF protocol. Reasons for these disparities are not clear. This further illustrates the need for more research studies. In any case, women should approach intermittent fasting with caution. Take it slow and be alert for any negative consequences. If any side effects become evident, it's time to give up on the idea of intermittent fasting. Additionally, there will probably be some days when those hormones become so overpowering that you can't ignore them. Those days are not good days for fasting, so have something to eat and try again the next day. Finally, any woman who is already having fertility issues should not think about IF. Similarly, if she is pregnant, trying to get pregnant, or breastfeeding, intermittent fasting should definitely not be part of her life. Part 3, Nutrition. Common mistakes when intermittent fasting. When you first start out on an intermittent fasting program, the prospects of reaping the benefits can be very exciting. As you look forward to meeting the slimmer, healthier, clearer-thinking new person that will be you, you may lose a bit of focus and make some mistakes along the way. Many people have already made those mistakes, so this list is to help you avoid repeating them so that your progress will be smooth and free of obstacles and setbacks. Mistake number one. Convincing yourself that just a little something to eat during the fasting phase will not hurt your progress. The truth is that the magic of fasting is centered around the process of autophagy, and a snack or a small meal can disrupt that process. There are different schools of thought on this. Some claim that you should not even add milk or cream to your coffee or tea during the fasting period, while there are others who believe that an indulgence that falls under 50 calories for the whole period is harmless. The bottom line seems to be that you can try a little extra if you're desperate, but if you don't see any progress, you should stick with completely abstaining from any kind of calories during the fasting period. Mistake number two. Choosing a method that doesn't suit your schedule, lifestyle, or physiological requirements. Intermittent fasting is not a one-size-fits-all lifestyle change. There are so many different protocols for the sole reason that different people have different biological responses to periods of not eating. Some people would never be able to manage the 5-2 protocol simply because they can't get past the hunger and the side effects of 24 hours with no food. Schedules are also important. You may be in a fasting state, but you have to feed your family, or you have to entertain clients, or your friends want to go out on the town. All of these things potentially interfere with a fast, so you have to make a clear analysis of your schedule, your lifestyle, and your biology when you choose a method. The 16-8 method works for many people because they can choose to skip breakfast or dinner, and the time without eating seems to be more manageable than trying to go a whole day or more. It also seems to be easier to work in some of these other things that are part of life with this method. If you do the research, you can probably determine the method that will give you the greatest chance at success. Mistake number 3, overeating between fasting periods. One of the most attractive components of intermittent fasting is the promise that you can eat whatever you like until you feel full, and you don't have to count calories. Some people incorrectly interpret this as permission to splurge on rich foods and binge on calories, or they graze mindlessly throughout the non-fasting window and have no real idea of how much food they're putting into their body. These practices are absolutely not going to help anyone lose weight or get healthy. Eating until you feel full is not the same thing as stuffing yourself with food that you know is not good for you. Sometimes the signal that you're full takes a while to make it to the brain, so it's important to eat slowly. It's also important to keep your calories mostly health-oriented macronutrients, proteins, healthy carbs, for example, vegetables, and good fats. This is what it will take to keep you feeling satisfied with plenty of energy, no muscle loss, and a healthy brain. And don't forget to take in enough fiber. That will help get that full feeling, as well as keeping you regular. That's not to say you can't treat yourself to some pizza or a brownie once in a while. You just can't make it your standard operating procedure. Mistake number 4, eating too little. One reason that overindulgence occurs in mistake number 3 is that people aren't getting enough calories to support their metabolisms. They become so obsessive about losing weight that they think leaving out as many calories as possible will make everything go faster. But this ambitious plan eventually backfires, and fatigue and weakness set in because there isn't enough fuel. Moreover, the starvation hormone ghrelin kicks in a big way, and your body starts screaming, "Feed me!" Sort of like that carnivorous plant in Little Shop of Horrors. If you haven't seen it, you should check out the movie. Very entertaining. And it might even help curb your appetite. As a result, many people get to the point that they go way overboard after the fast. They may skip a fasting period, or they may even quit the program. When you want to lose weight, don't be unrealistic about how you get there. Be practical, and don't let your calorie count drop lower than 1,200 on a non-fasting day. Mistake number 5, making a full-force frontal attack from the get-go. It's hard to overrate enthusiasm, but in the case of fasting, you don't want to do too much too soon, or you will undoubtedly get discouraged by the uncomfortable side effects that can occur in the beginning. Whichever method you choose to adopt, it's better for your body and your psyche to take a kinder, gentler approach to intermittent fasting. You start by just skipping one meal, or you could aim for just a 12-hour fast. When hunger pangs start to be noticeable, a glass of tea, a cup of coffee, or some ice water should keep them at bay for a little while. If the hunger becomes unbearable before you've reached your goal, don't stress your body, but go ahead and have something to eat. You can aim for a longer fast next time, and it should be easier. Add about 30 minutes to the fast each time until you are fasting for the predetermined amount of time. If your regimen includes exercise, You don't want to go whole hog when you're a novice at fasting. As your body gets more accustomed to the rhythms of fasting, you might feel better exercising on a fast, but when you're just starting out, you will probably be better off if you exercise about 2 hours after you eat. At first, workouts should be on the mild side, or you should skip them altogether. You can step up the intensity level as your body adjusts to the new routine. Mistake number 6, skimping on fluids. Staying hydrated is important under normal circumstances, but it's even more important when you're not getting your regular calorie load. We get some water from food, so the fact that we're not eating creates a fluid deficit. The effects will be noticeable. You'll have low energy, and you'll most likely suffer from headaches. The hunger pangs will also be harder to control, and you will have a greater chance of falling off the fast wagon. Mistake number 7, making poor food choices for non-fasting window. Even with all its benefits, intermittent fasting is not a guarantee of good health. It's important that you get essential nutrients when you are in your non-fasting period. That means that you should choose fresh, wholesome whole foods, organic when possible, and avoid empty calories and refined and processed foods that can be harmful to your health. Mistake number 8, fasting too frequently. Sometimes, people get caught up in an idea and take it too far. Intermittent fasting is not intended to be a marathon, and fasting for too many days in a week can work against you. Ideally, a fast should occur on 2 days a week and up to 4 if you're a veteran at fasting. Any more, and your body will think it is being starved and go into defense mode. The result will be something like metabolic chaos. In order to determine the best schedule for you, it may take a little trial and error to see at what point your body begins to be uncomfortable. If you reach that point, you should take your fasting back a notch. Intermittent fasting and fluids. About 55 to 70% of the human body is made up of water. The brain alone is nearly 70%, and the lungs are almost 90%. So staying hydrated is always important for a healthy body, no matter what kind of meal plan you are on. Your body needs water for efficient digestion, to keep body temperature level, carry nutrients to cells, and transport waste and toxins from the body, and to keep joints lubricated. It's essential for bladder and kidney function, and it impacts energy levels and hunger signals. All that being said, getting through a fasting period is just easier if you maintain a sufficient intake of water. You need an ongoing supply of water under normal circumstances, but you need to step it up when you work out, when the temperature is hot, and when you fast. The reason fasting calls for more water is that limiting food also limits water. Just about all foods contain some amount of water. Fruits and vegetables are especially good sources of water in food. For example, strawberries, watermelon, lettuce, and cucumbers are more than 90% water, with other vegetables also having significant amounts of H2O. There is even water content in meat, poultry, and fish. So if fasting causes you to cut down on the amount of food you eat, you are missing part of the water you need. Many people, and some experts, believe that drinking water when you're thirsty is a good way to manage your fluid intake. But the truth is that thirst is actually the first sign of dehydration. If you don't drink any fluids when you are feeling thirsty, the symptoms of dehydration intensify. Your urine output decreases, and it intensifies in color. Your mouth will be dry and cottony feeling. You will stop perspiring. You will not be able to produce tears. You may experience nausea with or without vomiting. You will experience muscle cramps. You will experience palpitations of the heart. You will experience lightheadedness and headaches. You will experience confusion and weakness. In final stages, dehydration can lead to organ failure, coma, and death. This list illustrates just how vital fluids are to our well-being, and its importance must not be overlooked both when you are in a fasting state and a non-fasting state. During the fasting state, water is best, and you can have sparkling water if you'd like to liven it up a little. But black coffee and tea, as well as green and herbal teas, are also recommended. There are differing opinions on whether you may add milk or cream to these beverages, so that's basically a judgment call on your part. You also have the option of including some other non-caloric beverages, but it's best to keep those to a minimum and rely on pure, unadulterated water. There is some concern that fasting leads to a loss of electrolytes and minerals, but you can compensate for this by adding a pinch of sea salt to your water when you're fasting. When you're not fasting, you can help regain electrolytes and minerals by including mineral-rich green smoothies and bone broth in your food choices. You may also choose to add some vitamin or mineral supplements to your regimen. Foods you should eat. When you think of fasting, you obviously think of a period without food. But every fast, no matter the length of it, eventually is broken. That's when you need to think about what kinds of food you're going to put into your body. As mentioned earlier, you don't want to gravitate to the junk food and treats that you missed. Instead, you need to focus on wholesome, nutritious macronutrients, lean proteins, high-quality, unrefined carbohydrates, and good fats. Balancing your diet with healthy foods will help curb hunger and cravings so that you're not tempted to overeat. Start with the protein. Protein is the most important part of your diet, whether you want to lose weight or not. Eating protein helps in achieving satiety, that full feeling, and keeping your appetite under control so that you can better manage your calorie consumption. On the other hand, protein also gives your metabolism a boost and enhances your body's ability to burn calories. Together, these two features provide a 1-2 punch that will help take weight off faster. Protein is also a fundamental factor in preventing the muscle loss that often occurs with most types of restrictive diets. You want to lose fat, not lean mass. So when you're not fasting, you should pay particular attention to how much protein you're getting. Many health and weight loss experts highly recommend that 30% of your calories are from protein. That, along with an exercise regimen, will help you hold on to muscle mass and possibly even make some gains in that area. The highest quality protein has the full range of necessary amino acids and is found in animal products. Feel free to eat anything from the meat, poultry, fish, and dairy categories. Even some lean red meat like steak is not taboo, as long as you're not overdoing. In the fish category, fatty fish such as salmon and herring are especially good because of their high omega-3 fatty acid content. Dairy products such as eggs, milk, yogurt, and cheese are also great sources, and you can include those on your non-fasting days, as long as you're able to tolerate lactose. Plant products also provide protein, but they don't provide all the amino acids. Beans, especially soybeans and lentils, are good sources of plant protein. Seeds, nuts, and nut butters are also good. Other good plant sources include oats, quinoa, chia seeds, buckwheat, and spirulina. Tofu and hummus are made from soybeans and chickpeas, respectively, so they are also good sources of protein. Then there are commercially manufactured protein powders, bars, and shakes. These products are good in a pinch, but for the most part, it's much better to get your protein from natural, whole food sources. People who are bodybuilders or elite athletes often augment their protein intake with protein supplements, but it's not necessary for the mainstream. Add healthy carbohydrates for vitamins, antioxidants, and fiber. With all the buzz these days about low-carb lifestyle, it's unusual to see an actual recommendation for eating carbohydrates. We're not talking about white bread and pasta here, but a healthy diet depends on balance, and part of that balance includes complex carbohydrates such as fresh fruits and vegetables. Many experts believe that it takes about 150 grams of carbohydrates in a day to ensure that the body functions at full capacity. If carbohydrates are greatly restricted, as they are in many of the popular low-carb diets, you can experience several undesirable side effects after just a couple of days. Some of these side effects include skin rashes, diarrhea or constipation, cramping muscles, fatigue, low energy levels, weakness, and a general unwell feeling. Low-carb consumption also causes ketosis, which gives a person bad breath, gas, and leads to a breakdown of protein and muscle tissue. There is also a loss of water and sodium and potential dehydration. There are people who advocate the low-carb lifestyle that claim to function very well with ketosis, and they say that it has more benefits than drawbacks. Apparently, their bodies are better suited for that type of diet, and that just illustrates that some things work for some people and not so well for others. Including fruits and vegetables in your food plan means that you not only avoid the undesirable side effects, but you benefit from all the natural vitamins, minerals, and fiber found in them. Sure, you could take a supplement or two, but nothing beats the nutrients that come directly from nature. Fruits, vegetables, and whole grains are also good sources of fiber, so you need them to keep your digestive system moving efficiently, so to speak. Men should have 28 to 34 grams of fiber every day, and women should have 22 to 28 grams. Good fats. After decades on the bad foods list, fats, unsaturated fats in particular, have finally earned their place in the formula for a healthy diet. Even saturated fats, mostly found in meat, have become more respectable, as long as they're consumed in moderation. Nowadays, the only fat that is still considered totally evil is trans fat, which is man-made for the most part, not natural like the monounsaturated and polyunsaturated fats that are considered the good fats. You can recognize trans fats on food labels as partially hydrogenated oil. Many times it will actually identify them as trans fats. As much as possible, you should avoid any food with these words on the label. Trans fats are the bad guys. They raise bad cholesterol and lower good cholesterol, which increases your chances of developing heart disease or stroke. They also have a connection to a higher risk of type 2 diabetes. Monounsaturated and polyunsaturated fats, on the other hand, are the good guys. These fats actually provide important nutrients that we need and are important because they help reduce LDL cholesterol, the bad cholesterol. And there is evidence from research studies that they have a positive effect on blood sugar and insulin levels. Monounsaturated fats are a very few degrees more useful than polyunsaturated fats. They have anti-inflammatory properties and can decrease the risk of cardiac disease. Olive oil, avocados, and nuts are all good sources of monounsaturated fats. But polyunsaturated fats are also beneficial in many ways. Found in fish, fish oil, algae, seeds, nuts, and leafy green vegetables, these fats are a good source of omega-3 fatty acids, which are essential for brains, cells, and heart. Polyunsaturated fats also contain omega-6 fatty acids, which work with omega-3 to reduce LDL cholesterol. But consuming too much omega-6 is not a good idea because a higher proportion of omega-6 in relation to omega-3 plays a role in weight gain, inflammation, and some other health issues. Having the proper balance of omega-3 and omega-6 fatty acids is necessary for many reasons. Among the benefits are support for heart, pancreas health, balancing mood and reducing depression symptoms, protection from dementia and memory loss, help with skin disorders, reducing the risk of diseases like heart disease, cancer, and stroke, preventing or reducing symptoms of ADHD and bipolar disorder, helping to ensure a healthy pregnancy, lessening pain from arthritis, memory improvement, prevention of fatigue. Unfortunately, it's too easy to get more omega-6 than is good for us, because it's so prevalent in the food we eat, especially corn and vegetable oils. If the balance gets skewed so that the proportion of omega-6 is much greater than omega-3, it can lead to trouble with blood pressure, water retention, and blood clots that can lead to heart attack or stroke. For this reason, it's important to monitor your unsaturated fats so that you are getting the balance that will do more good than harm. Saturated fat is a whole other animal, and the jury is still out on this one. Research goes back and forth on whether or not it's good or bad for you. But there is evidence that we need some saturated fat in our diet for immune support, liver function, developing and protecting our cells, and several other necessary operations. The key thing to remember about saturated fat is to keep it reasonable. Going overboard can lend support to the claims that saturated fats cause heart problems. Fat is the third of the essential macronutrients for keeping you healthy on an intermittent fasting program. A healthy diet can include as much as 30% of your calories from fat, according to many experts. Lowering fat consumption, however, doesn't seem to have significant harmful effects. It's not hard to get enough fat. It's in meat, butter, cheese, milk, nuts, oils, and some vegetables, as well as most dessert products. Just make sure that the majority of the fat you're consuming is on the healthy fat list. Besides the macronutrients, your non-fasting days can include a variety of condiments to make sure what you eat has maximum flavor. Feel free to use salt, unless you're on a sodium-restricted diet, pepper, herbs, and spices to spice up your food. You can even enjoy an occasional dessert, as long as you keep in mind that the calories and sugar will likely slow down your weight loss progress. It's probably best to indulge in desserts only on special occasions. When you're not fasting, you can enjoy most of your favorite beverages, including wine, beer, and spirits. Again, you don't want to go too far with this because overdoing it one evening can mean a lot of difficulty getting back into the fasting routine the next day. Intermittent fasting and the keto diet. Many people are already fans of the ketogenic diet, and they wonder if adding an intermittent fasting regimen will work well with their routine. The answer is yes. Keto dieting involves high amounts of fat, some protein, and very low amounts of carbohydrates, so that the body enters the state of ketosis. This type of diet provides benefits for a lot of people, but adding intermittent fasting to the regimen can accelerate the process of autophagy, which will enhance these benefits. One of the primary goals of the keto diet is to get into ketosis so that the body is burning fat instead of glucose, thereby producing ketone bodies. When you add intermittent fasting to the mix, you can get into ketosis much faster because you are not only reducing the amount of carbs you eat, but protein and other macros as well. The reverse is also true. A keto diet enhances intermittent fasting because a keto diet is a kind of carbohydrate fast on its own. Therefore, when you enter your window of fasting, you already have a leg up. In addition, fasting is actually easier when you've been on a keto diet because the absence of carbohydrates and the satisfying qualities of higher fats help you overcome hunger and cravings, so you don't feel the need to eat. When you combine the keto diet with intermittent fasting, you intensify the benefits of autophagy. You already know that this is the process where your body cleans out wastes and toxins from your cells. Since both diets have a role in inducing autophagy, the process becomes more efficient, providing even greater benefits and protection against type 2 diabetes and cardiovascular disease. You will also accelerate your weight loss. The ketogenic diet is of extra benefit in intermittent fasting because it helps to keep your blood sugars stable. While it tends to level out during a fasting period, if you go back to eating carbohydrates in your non-fasting window, you will start to produce glucose again, and your body will go back to using this for energy instead of ketones. As a result, you may get spikes in your blood sugar, which can result in low energy, fatigue, brain fog, etc. On a keto diet, you don't have those blood spikes because you're keeping your carbs to a minimum so that your body continues to rely on ketones for energy and your blood sugar stays level. This also helps you avoid some of the uncomfortable side effects of ketosis, like the keto flu. As you know, there is more than one way to do intermittent fasting, and the same rule of thumb applies to keto dieters in choosing which one is right for you. Ideally, you will get results by fasting anywhere between 12 and 48 hours at a time. There are some experts who recommend fasting for 3 days, about 3 times a year, but that sort of plan is not for everyone. You can try on different fasting methods and see how you feel on them. If you feel that you can't manage the hunger or you have issues with cognitive function or sleep, that method is probably not a good fit for you. You also need to make sure that you eat the right amount of calories during your eating window. Not enough calories will cause you to be miserable and may create metabolic issues, while too many calories will erase any progress you have made. You can find apps on the internet to help you calculate how many calories and ketogenic macronutrients you need for your body type and activity level. Use this as a guideline of how you should eat when you're not fasting. You can use a urine strip to keep track of your ketones so that you don't fall out of ketosis from failing to maintain a ketogenic balance. While intermittent fasting alone is almost completely non-restrictive regarding what you can eat during your non-fasting windows, combining it with a keto diet comes with a few restrictions. Although you can eat fattier cuts of meat and other fatty things, you must avoid or limit a pretty long list of high-carb foods when you're also on a keto diet. Anything containing sugar, soda, candy, pastries, fruit juice, etc. Grains and grain-based products, bread, cereal, pasta, rice, etc. Potatoes, sweet potatoes, carrots, and other starchy root vegetables. Most fruit, some berries are allowed. Beans and legumes. Alcohol, unhealthy fat, corn oil, and other processed vegetable oils, mayo, etc. Most diet products, check the labels for sugar and carb content. When you go shopping for what you can eat, you need to be a carb detective. Check labels on diet products, condiments, and sauces to see if there are hidden sugars, carbs, or unhealthy fats. Also check for sugar alcohols in sugar-free foods. Being unaware of any of these things can affect your ketone levels. The ketone diet is not for everyone, and intermittent fasting is not for everyone. But they are for many people, who swear that the combination of keto dieting and intermittent fasting is the best thing they've ever done for losing weight and gaining better health and confidence. Sample meal plans. Since there are a variety of different styles of fasting methods, this section includes a hodgepodge of meal plans that should address one or more of these methods. The first group of meal plans is for the eating window on the 5-2 plan, where you limit calorie consumption to 500 to 600 for the day. 5-2 non-fasting day meal plan. Finding the best way to spread out the 500 to 600 calories you're allowed to eat on a fasting day is probably the trickiest part of the 5-2 diet, and it may take some hits and misses before you come up with the routine that works best for you. Many people claim to have good luck by spreading the calories out over 4 to 5 meals during the day, but that makes the meals very small. Others are comfortable eating their calories in just 2 sittings. As much as possible, each meal should include fresh vegetables and fruits. The meal plans offered here are basically suggestions about what you can realistically eat on the 5-2 plan, so you can use them as a guideline to plan your meals according to your personal needs and preferences. Sunday, meal 1, morning-ish, about 220 calories. 1 hard-cooked egg with 4 ounces smoked salmon, coffee, or tea. Meal 2, evening-ish, about 275 calories. 4 ounces roasted chicken, skin removed, 1 cup kale salad, iced tea with lemon wedge. Monday, meal 1, morning-ish, about 204 calories, a half cup oatmeal with creamy peanut butter and half banana, coffee, or tea. Meal 2, evening-ish, about 275 calories, 3 ounces seared flank steak, half cup sliced cherry tomatoes, iced tea. Tuesday, meal 1, morning-ish, about 266 calories, whole wheat toast with egg and a quarter avocado, 1 small or half large orange, coffee or tea. Meal 2, evening-ish, about 240 calories. Stir-fry with chicken, snow peas, cabbage, and carrots. Half pear, sparkling water. Wednesday, meal 1, morning-ish, about 180 calories. Strawberry banana yogurt smoothie, coffee or tea. Meal 2, evening-ish, about 400 calories. 1 cup stir-fried quinoa and vegetables. 1 cup mango cubes. Iced tea. Thursday, meal 1, morning-ish, about 155 calories. Poached egg and Roma tomato slices on whole wheat toast, coffee or tea. Meal 2, evening-ish, about 400 calories. Baked eggplant parmesan, tossed salad spritzed with olive oil and lemon juice, water. Friday, meal 1, morning-ish, about 135 calories. Half cup low-fat cottage cheese, sliced apple with cinnamon, coffee, or tea. Meal 2, evening-ish, about 440 calories. Spaghetti squash with tomatoes, black olives, and feta cheese. 1 cup Caesar salad, iced tea. Saturday, meal 1, morning-ish, about 170 calories. Scrambled egg with low-fat cheddar and salsa, coffee, or tea. Meal 2, evening-ish, about 360 calories. Grilled ahi tuna, 3 spears steamed broccoli, quinoa salad, iced tea. Keto IF meal plan for non-fasting window. The meal plans in this section focus on the ketogenic way of dieting with high fat, moderate protein, and very low carbohydrates. The suggested meal plans are based on only 2 meals per day, but you can adjust that to suit your personal needs. There may be some days where just 1 sizable meal will satisfy you, and other days when you need more than 2 meals to get you through the day. As long as your fasting and feeding schedule remains consistent, you'll be fine. Sunday, meal 1, eggs, bacon, sliced tomatoes. Meal 2, braised chicken thighs, mashed cauliflower, kale, and Brussels sprout salad. Monday, meal 1, omelet with spinach and cheese. Meal 2, grilled steak, sautéed mushrooms, sliced tomatoes. Tuesday, meal 1, scrambled eggs with smoked salmon and avocado. Meal 2, ground beef patty with cheddar cheese and salsa, Mexican slaw. Wednesday, meal 1, tuna salad, celery sticks. Meal 2, turkey meatballs, sautéed spinach and mushrooms, side salad. Thursday, meal 1, omelet with ham, cheese, onions, and peppers. Meal 2, grilled salmon and asparagus, avocado slices. Friday, meal 1, frittata with spinach, mushrooms, and parmesan. Meal 2, pork chop, charred green beans, keto Caesar salad. Saturday, meal 1, cold roast beef slices, Swiss cheese cubes, avocado slices. Meal 2, pork and cabbage stir fry, cauliflower rice. A final word. By now, you must have a pretty good idea of what intermittent fasting is and how it can help you lose weight and get healthy. One benefit that we haven't mentioned yet is how intermittent fasting can make your life simpler and relieve some of the stress of day-to-day living. Just think about it. If you are eating fewer meals, you're also spending less time cooking and shopping, and you're probably even saving yourself some money. And you have some extra time, the time you would normally spend cooking and eating. You can use that time to be a little more productive at work or around the house. You can take up a new hobby, or you can just take some time to relax without feeling guilty. Another benefit that we didn't mention is the way that intermittent fasting rejuvenates your palate, virtually waking it up. Going without food for a longer period of time gives your taste buds an opportunity to recharge and take on the next meal unhindered by leftover flavors and tired taste buds. Your next meal seems to burst with more flavor, the sweet, the sour, the salty, the bitter, and the umami, so that you enjoy the experience of eating more than you ever did before, not just because you miss the food, but because it actually tastes better. That's another reason to make sure you're choosing fresh, natural food for your meals. For many people, intermittent fasting is far superior to old-school dieting. Although it's difficult to deal with the hunger pangs in the beginning, they practically disappear as our hormones find their new rhythm and our bodies adjust to not eating as frequently. Very few diets offer the multiple benefits of intermittent fasting: the weight loss, the improved health, the longer life, the mental clarity. The longer you maintain the practice of fasting, the more you will see the benefits. As research into intermittent fasting continues, as it must, it's entirely possible that even more benefits will be uncovered. There are not too many things in this world that have such an optimistic outlook. This has been Intermittent Fasting: Lose Weight, Heal Your Body, and Live a Healthy Life. Written by Amanda Walker. Narrated by Kimberly Austin. This program was produced by TIDEF Media. Copyright 2018 by Amanda Walker. Production copyright 2018 by Amanda Walker.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.